want to confess in some ways that I've never been one. I've never been one to be inclined to be comfortable making certain predictions. And especially if those predictions carry any specific weight, if people count on me to make specific calls. Like, even if they're surface-level things. Jake, what do you think it's going to do tomorrow? Is it going to snow? What do you think? You can read the forecast. I mean, I'm not so sure. Jake, who do you think is going to win the next week's ball game? Do you think the Steelers are going to win next week? Well, I hope so. I really don't want to say for fear of being what? Wrong. I've never been comfortable making predictions. Wait, Jake, what do you think the baby is going to be, a boy or a girl? I mean, I'm inclined to think that it could be one or the other. I don't really want to say, because if I say, I'll be what? Wrong. Which makes this specific piece of scripture that we're about to read in the Gospels interesting to me. Because of a proclamation somebody has made over the life of one and the lives of the group that he accosts, and actually changes them because of what he says. We're going to encounter this man named Simeon on this New Year's Eve. I think that this word speaks powerful things to us as a people who anticipate a brand new year and God doing brand new things in us and through us. I am concluding this week our sermon series entitled "O Hear the Angels' Voices," and I've extended it to today for specific reasons so that it can hit home a point that I hope you'll leave with by the time this service is done. So I want you to hear these words from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, starting in the 22nd verse and going to 40. So Jesus has been born, the shepherds have visited, and after some time, verse 22 says, when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, and we'll talk about this, they brought him, meaning Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25 says, now there was a man. There was a man in the land who was devout. His name was Simeon. He was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. We don't know how it was revealed to him, but it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so, guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you're dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And so then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There is also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God. There's that word. Began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. That's where we stop this morning, brothers and sisters. Living Word of God for living people of God, we say. Thanks be to God. Can we pray together this prayer for illumination? in your bulletin. Your response is in the portion where it says all. Let's pray. Beloved in Christ, this Christmas season, it's our delight to prepare ourselves again to hear the message of the angels and to go in heart and mind to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass and to behold the babe lying in a manger, and we all say, Eternal God, as your word is proclaimed through the scriptures that are read, let us hear with joy the story of your loving purposes. As we receive, shape us as vessels who give. In the name's name, amen. I admire people like Simeon for a number of reasons. But I admire the fact that he went out on a limb in faith to say what he said in that moment. As I told you before, I'm not one who's particularly comfortable making predictions or talking about things that have not yet happened. And as a person of faith, I'd like to say that I could be in the capacity of Simeon to say what he said and to do what he did, to speak a word over Mary and Joseph and the baby that confirmed in their hearts or in their lives at that point that God was doing something great. I need to preface what the meat of this message by helping us understand some things. Because in the beginning portion of this text, we see Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus going to the temple because they were doing things that were customary according to the law. It said when the time of her purification came, they took Jesus to dedicate him, to present him in the temple as one who was set aside as holy. This is rich in tradition. This is rich in biblical history. And for those of you who elect to go by a note sheet, I've included a portion of the Old Testament text as it's conveyed in Leviticus. When they said they were doing something that was according or customary to the law, when they had fulfilled those things, when the time of her purification came, they brought Jesus to the temple. Now, this is significant for a number of reasons, but I want to read to you what's noted in the Levitical law, just to give you an idea that these were people who not only knew the word, but saw it fit as a people of faith to abide by it. So I think that when we read the Gospels, we perceive that there's a disconnect between what the people did and what they knew about their ancestry, what they knew people did according to the law. This was something that was rich with them. It was part of them. In Leviticus it says, according to the law, if a woman bears a male child, she shall be ceremonially unclean 7 days. That's one portion. On the 8th day, the flesh of the child's foreskin, his foreskin, shall be circumcised. Her time of blood purification shall be 33 days. She shall not touch anything holy or come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are completed. And then going forward, I'm skipping around in Leviticus. She shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb in its first years for a burnt offering. And there's a provision in the law because they knew that a lamb, a precious lamb, the firstborn lamb, the first fruits, were costly. And not everybody had the means to afford a lamb. And there was a provision in the law that says that if she could not afford a sheep, she shall take 2 turtle doves and 2 pigeons. Now, if you can recall, after we've read the 2nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, what did Mary and Joseph present as an offering? Can anybody say?
Birds.
2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. One for a burnt offering and one for a sin offering. I'm going to leave that be for a second. So, 7 days, Mary was considered ceremonially unclean. And then the time for her purification was a period of 33. And if you add that up, 7 plus 33 is 40. Scripture uses 40 as significant portions of time to get us to understand that God's in the process of doing something brand new, of creating and recreating. How long was Noah on the ark? It says 40 days and 40 nights. It's to get us to understand that God was in the process of creating and recreating, doing something brand new. How long were the people wanderers in the desert between a place of imprisonment and promise? 40 years. How long was Moses on the mountain to receive the law? 40 days. How long was Jesus in the desert to be tempted? 40 days. Scripture uses this as a motif to get us to understand when we read, God's in the process of doing something brand new. And so 7 days for her purification, 33 for, or 7 days she was ceremonially unclean, 33 for her purification. And so on the 40th day, this family goes to church. And while they're in church, they receive a proclamation that I think confirms in their hearts that God was doing something brand new. Interesting. And they brought with them an offering, a sacrifice. 2 turtle doves, pigeons, birds. Which clues us into the fact that as a family, they couldn't afford the lamb. But I think it's interesting, brothers and sisters, God issues us a word of insight as a people who may not participate in the same sacrificial system that they did. They were bringing what they knew they could give. And it's in so many ways, God was saying, you know what? You may not be able to afford it, but just offer what you have. You take care of the pigeons or turtle doves, because unbeknownst to you, I've provided the lamb. And you're carrying it. And it gives us a point where we can pause and consider one of my first notes. When it comes to the breadth and depth of your witness with your work or your action in the world, brothers and sisters, don't worry about what you don't have. Don't let that be a point of concern, because oftentimes, especially as a people, when it comes to our witness, we worry about our ineptness. We worry about the things that we lack or we don't have. Don't worry about what you don't have. We live in a culture of comparison. It's easy, brothers and sisters, to be bogged down on the basis of our comparisons with the Joneses. Well, you know what? I can't be happy, or I can't be content because I don't have this one thing. Or I can't be a witness in the world because I'm not so sure what I would say or do in the moment. Scripture says, don't worry about what you don't have. Offer what you have, take a step in faith, and see that God takes care of the rest as we're faithful to take the next step. And to speak of faithfulness, there was this man. He was up in age. He was old. His name was Simeon. And the Holy Spirit, as the Scripture says, rested on him. And by revelation, the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon, he said, Simeon, I know that you're up in age, but you won't see death. You won't pass away until you behold the consolation of Israel. And I wonder, brothers and sisters, if we put ourselves in positions like Simeon, I wonder the extent to which Simeon woke up every day, and the moment his feet touched the floor from his bed, maybe wondered, will this be the day? Could this be the day that God reveals to me what God's promised? And I wonder if he got bogged down with that promise. I wonder how many days he got up expectant and lived the day expectant with eyes open and heart open and mind open that this might be the day, but not. But I think that he's come to the conclusion because he's been so faithful to what God had revealed to him through the presence of the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't see death until he saw the consolation of Israel. That every opportunity he had to suck new air, each new day, every time his feet hit the floor, was an opportunity where he thought God might show up. Today might be the day. Today might be the day God might do it for me. Today might be the day God might show me something new about myself, about my relationship in the world. God might reveal to me something new, a new glory, a new glimpse of glory. And as a people who anticipate a new year, I wonder if we could house or harbor the strength of faith enough to know that when your feet hit the floor, God's got a purpose. That you have a place and a passion and a purpose in this world. That the moment you take the next step, or your air takes in, or your lungs take in new air, is another opportunity that God has to show or reveal something to you. And I wonder if we might have the same spirit as Simeon, even as those who are elderly, those who may think, I've seen it all, I've experienced it all, I've done it all, I've read it all. Or who may be weary, thinking, God may not ever show me, but the fact that you're still here is still suggestive of the fact that God still has something to show you. I wonder what it might look like if we possessed in the coming new year the spirit and strength of a Simeon. And in the fullness of time, on the 40th day, when God was about to proclaim in so many ways, direct and indirect, that God was doing something new, here Mary and Joseph carry their offering, and they've got Jesus in tow, and they're going to present him to the temple, and they're going to sacrifice. And on the very same day, Simeon just so happens to be in church. I wonder what would have happened had he decided, you know what, it may not be worth my time. I might as well not even go. I might as well not even try anymore. Could you imagine what he may have missed if he bereft himself from the opportunity to be in community? What he may have robbed himself out of had he missed church that day? Had he missed temple? I think there's power that exists in community, because oftentimes God reveals some of the greatest things in and through the context of community. And so here they too come. When the time of purification came on that 40th day, when she walked into the temple, Simeon was there. And when it comes to your witness, or to your work in the world, or your action in the world, for whatever, don't worry about what you don't have. Especially when it comes to your testimony as a Christian. Because oftentimes we wonder about, well, I won't know what to say when the moment comes. Just take a step in faith and bring Jesus into the situation. And as you bring Jesus into a situation, you'll be amazed to see how it is that the Holy Spirit moves. Did you ever notice that Mary and Joseph said nothing? At least as it's recorded. They didn't say anything, but they did something significant in faithfulness according to the law, to fulfill the law. They did something in faithfulness. Simeon didn't necessarily do anything, but he said something that was profound. You may not have something to say, but you have something to do. You may not have anything to do, but you have something to say. And when you step in faithfulness, be it your witness, your work, or your action in the world, when you carry Christ into a situation, it moves the Holy Spirit to speak to people. And those people have something to give you as well. We see it in the interaction of Simeon, Mary, and Joseph. In the coming new year, if you want spiritual growth, if you want to arrive at a different place spiritually in your discipleship than you did at this point last year, here's one key ingredient. One key ingredient is this, if you're following in your note sheet: obedience. Oftentimes we see obedience in a negative light. But as we're faithful to God, it's amazing what the Lord reveals through faithfulness. Mary and Joseph were obedient. They did what was necessary according to the law. And through their obedience, they accosted somebody in the context of church, in the context of worship, that was moved to say, you know what? Your presence, your very presence, has changed the way I've seen the world. Because I've been waiting for this moment. Their very presence was powerful. Simeon was obedient to know that every day he had opportunity to suck new air was another opportunity that God had to show him something, particularly the consolation of Israel. And so he goes to church that day, goes to worship. And it just so happens that when he beholds the child, given the revelation of the Spirit that rested on him, something happened in him, and he grabbed the child and he proclaims this word over the child. Have you ever seen that painting? You know, that painting of Simeon? As an old man holding up Jesus and smiling. I can see that vividly in my head. That the day finally came
that through his own obedience, because he sought to take step, he sought to take a step in faith, step by step by step, every day, to be obedient to God. In the fullness of time, God linked two parties up, and they were good for one another. Something powerful happened. If you want spiritual growth in 2018, if we have the blessing of experiencing it, if you want a closer walk with God, one key ingredient is for you to stay obedient. It may not happen today. It may not happen next week. It may not happen next month or next year even. But as long as you stay obedient, you see it fit, you're resolved to take the next step in faith, to God say, I'm yours. I open my hands, my heart, and my head to you, to your movement. Whatever you seek to do and when you choose to do it, let it be. But I want to put myself in the appropriate position to see and experience what you have to give to me and through me. Stay obedient. Mary and Joseph didn't necessarily have anything to say, but they brought Jesus into a situation and by their presence did something powerful. Simeon didn't necessarily do anything, but he said something that was dramatically important. It's amazing, see, how it is as we conclude this sermon series on We'll Hear the Angels' Voices, how it is that God speaks to us through other people, other messengers. I don't think that Mary and Joseph were necessarily looking for white, harped, winged people, figures to give them a message. It was an old man who saw something with them and in them that prompted him to say, this is the one. Lord, you can. I can go now. I can close my eyes and go to glory because you've fulfilled your promise. You've kept your promise. I've seen the consolation of Israel. And he told Mary, this child's responsible for the rising and falling of many. And you know what? If the shepherds weren't enough to say that we had to go and see this thing that has happened, if the voice of the angel with Mary wasn't enough, or the voice of the angel in the dream with Joseph wasn't enough, they go into the temple, and Simeon says this thing over the family and over Jesus, and it says that they left the temple amazed. Amazed and astounded. As if they needed, perhaps so. Think of all the crazy things that have happened to this point. I find it interesting that they consistently did confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that Jesus was, or that God was doing something in their lives, as they stayed obedient. I like to think that I would have answered the call at some stage in my life. But as I look back in my past, as I turn the pages of my early faith, I'm thankful for the people that God yoked to me who served somewhat as a Simeon for me. Do you know any Simeons? Have there been any people in your life that served as a Simeon at critical ages or stages of your life that spoke a word into your heart, and by virtue of the word that you received from them, their encouragement, their inspiration, their wisdom or guidance set you on a path where you were able to take the next step of faith and confidence? Who is your Simeon? And never doubt the fact or the extent to which you can be a Simeon to someone else. I'm thankful that even though I didn't want to hear it, that privately I was wrestling with a call to ministry in my heart, and I didn't want to come to grips with it as an early teen. I was wrestling so bad with that. But there were people in the context of my faith community in church, and I credit Debbie and Dave Merrill, who are lay people in my home congregation, that says, I see something in you. Moved by the Spirit to say, Jake, I see gifts in you that you may not want to see in yourself. And they provided open opportunities for me to use those gifts. I credit my parents, my mom and my dad, for being Simeons for me in my life. Never doubt the extent to which your voice, your message, your guidance, your wisdom, your contributions can speak power and life into the life of people who internally, privately, are thinking or mulling over the same things. And don't be surprised if you offer that encouragement or that wisdom or guidance and for them to say, you know what, I've been waiting to hear something like this. Who told you? Who told you I was sorting out these thoughts in my head and in my heart? Who's your Simeon? Never doubt the extent to which you can be a messenger, an angel. that can confirm exactly what somebody needs to know and understand. But you know what? It's going to take you being obedient. It's going to take you being faithful to doing the things that are necessary to put yourselves in appropriate positions to hear and experience. Never doubt in the context of worship how it is that the word can work. As Mary and Joseph took steps of faith then, so did Simeon. And it's amazing what God does with people of God who seek to be obedient. Don't worry about what you don't have, because God finds ways of filling in the blanks, filling in the holes. And if you want to grow in 2018, if we have that opportunity, stay obedient and see what happens. So let's recap. Zechariah taught us, and oh, hear the angels' voices, that something holy happened in the midst of the habitual when he was going to offer sacrifice. That through the habitual, the holy happens. And with Mary and Elizabeth, she wasn't given voice by a chorus of angels. No James Earl Jones in her voice in her ear. But she was able to confirm with joy in her heart what God was doing by virtue of a conversation she had with Elizabeth, who was also pregnant. And we learned that through them, confirmations can come through conversations, that we can be angels and messengers that the Lord situates with words and actions. You may not know what you're going to say, but you've got something to do. You may know that you need to do something, but you may not know what to say. You may not have to. Joseph teaches us through the voice, through the dream, and the angel's voice, what happens when we maintain the ability to abide, to stick around, to see long enough how the story ends. And Simeon teaches us that the next movement of God could be the next moment in time. The next movement of God could be the next moment in time. As we find ourselves as a people of God, as I close, on the cusp of a new year, stay watchful. Stay obedient. Don't worry about what you don't have. Bring Jesus into a situation by your presence, by your words, Simeon, and see what happens. The messenger and the message for those who walk and those who wait could be closer than you think. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.